The last time I was here, about 6 months ago, we had just been blessed with our first grandchild. In fact, if I remember right, our grandson and Richard and Melissa's they have a grandson, right? Was born on the same day. I believe I remember that. We had just had him. We showed some of you pictures, which we can do again. But that's not necessary because he's here live and in person today. My wife, Deborah, is here, and for some reason they didn't make the 8:30 service. But anyway, we are keeping Sullivan is his name, and we are keeping Sullivan this weekend. And we were going to take him to the nursery, but he insisted on coming to hear me preach. He has never heard me preach, so this is a first for him. And so he calls me Duke. If he gets fussy, you'll know he's just being critical. And it won't be the first time people have gotten fussy during my sermons. They're just usually grown, adult type people that do that. So when Melissa called me late Friday night and said that she had finally talked Richard into not coming to church today and getting a substitute, I wish I had said, well, can he just send me his sermon notes and I'll just do what he was going to do. But I didn't think about that. So we're going to do something different today than what's in your bulletin. But I'm going to read another gospel text. You can never read enough gospel. John 21, verses 24 and 25. John 21, verses 24 and 25, which are the last two verses in the Gospel of John. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for the things that Jesus did that are written. We thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that the story that Jesus came to continue to tell is a story that we continue to tell through our words and our lives. Help us today to listen to your Spirit, to listen to your word. In Christ's name, amen. There is a thing in this world called collaborative storytelling. Here's how it works. One person starts writing a story. After they've written some of the story, they send it to someone else who continues writing the story. After they've written some, they send it to someone else who continues writing the story, and so on, and so on, and so on. And so the writing of the story involves the contributions of many people. A lot of people contribute to the writing of the story. Now, as you might expect, sometimes at the end of that process, the story is quite a mess. It's a kind of a messy story, but that's okay. After all, art is supposed to imitate life, and life can be messy. And sometimes the more people you get involved in life, the messier it can get. Having said that, I've written some pretty messy stories all on my own. I've discovered I don't need any help to make a mess out of my life. I can do it just fine, all on my own. But you get the point. There is, if you involve a lot of people, or even just a few people, or even just one person, the story can get messy. Life can be messy. But life can also be purposeful. And even a messy story can turn out to be a pretty good story if there's a purpose behind it. There's a sense in which we're all involved in collaborative storytelling. God started this story. God started this story, and then God calls us to be involved in this story. But God is still heavily involved in this story. When collaborative storytelling, as I was talking about it a minute ago, once somebody hands the story off, even the one who originated the story, once they hand it off, it's out of their hands. They have nothing else to do with it. God initiated the story, and God stays involved in the story. God is still involved in the plot. God is still helping direct the plot. God is still helping give purpose to the story. But we are all involved in it. We're all involved in the writing and the telling and the living of the story. And we're all contributing to the story that God is writing, whether we realize it or not, and whether we think about it or not. I would propose that we can do a better job of contributing to the story if we do think about it, if we are aware of it, if we are purposeful about our part in the story. But even if our contributions are unthinking and haphazard, we're still involved. It'd be better if they'd be thoughtful and purposeful, but we're still involved. We don't have a choice as to whether or not to participate in God's story. We do have some choices about how we're going to do it. Now, life illustrates what I've been talking about. As the great theologian wrote in one of his songs, you know, a lot of great theology in songs. Robert Earl Keen wrote some great theology in one of his songs when he said, "The road goes on forever and the party never ends." There's a sense in which that's true. The road goes on forever. Life goes on forever. But the Bible teaches us this same truth. Do a little biblical studies here with you. Most modern biblical scholars really believe that the original ending of the Gospel of John is at the end of chapter 20, not chapter 21. They think chapter 21 was added on later. So chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 is what most scholars believe constitute the original ending of the book of John. This is what it says. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book," meaning the Gospel of John. "But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Now, an ending like that, "Jesus did many other signs which are not written in this book." Gee, wouldn't you like to know what those are? "And they were written so that you may come to believe." Well, yeah, and then what? You know, it kind of leaves you hanging. And so it's like somebody said, okay, there's more, so let's tell you some more. So we have chapter 21. And then at the end of chapter 21, it says, "There are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the book that would be written." Okay, so into chapter 20, you said there are many more. Then you give me one more chapter's worth, and then you say, well, you know, there's still many more. The road goes on forever. The story keeps going. Same thing with the Gospel of Mark. Again, just to quote those most scholars, many scholars believe that Mark originally ended at chapter 16, verse 8. And it's after the women go to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, they find the tomb empty. And then it says this would be the last verse of Mark originally, most scholars think. "So the women went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." There's got to be more than that. So somebody came back and added a few verses at the end that includes those verses that say, if you drink poison, it won't hurt you, and if poisonous snakes bite you, it won't hurt you. And so, you know, this gives us a way out. As well. But my point is, you have these dramatic kind of cliffhanger endings. Go to the book of Acts. Once we meet Paul in the book of Acts, everything in Acts after that centers around Paul. And it's pretty clear that one of the purposes is to get Paul to Rome. But we finally get Paul to Rome. And the last time we see Paul, he's under house arrest preaching in Rome. The end. Now, tradition tells us that Paul was martyred in Rome, We know there's a whole lot more to the story than that, but you know, whoever, you know, Luke just was finished. That was it. But there's more to it. There's an unfinished story. The Bible presents us with an unfinished story. Life presents us with an unfinished story. And the glory of it is that God calls us to participate in this story and to contribute to this story. God invites us to see the living of our lives as more than just the living of our lives, but as our part in what God is doing in history. Right here in Macon, Georgia, even in Yatesville, where I live. Back in the late 70s, 1970s, I was sitting in a class one morning over at Mercer University and with Dr. Howard Giddens. Some of you will remember Dr. Howard Giddens. Some of you will know that his nickname was Duke. And that's why my grandson is going to call me Duke. It was in memory of, in honor of Dr. Howard Giddens. He may decide to call me something else, but anyway. But one day, I was sitting in class, and Dr. Giddens read that verse from John 21. There are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And Dr. Giddens looked at us. He said, "What do y'all think that means?" Now, I was the best student in the class. And my roommate, Randy, was not the best student in the class. Still one of my best friends, but if he were here, he would tell you. He probably would deny it, but the truth is. But Randy spoke up and he said, "I think it means that the story is still being written." Dr. Giddens liked that answer, so I was jealous. The story is still being written. Think of it this way. Every time Jesus touched a sick person, every time Jesus touched a sin-sick person, every time Jesus touched a lonely person, embraced an outcast person, taught a seeking person, every time Jesus touched one of those lives, then that life went out and touched another life. And that life went out and touched another life. And that life touched another life. And you and I, at this moment, are at the end of that process. Because somebody touched a life that touched, because Jesus touched a life that touched a life that touched a life that touched a life all the way down to you and me. Only it doesn't end with us, does it? Because what are we supposed to do? Touch a life. So that life can touch a life. We're here because that long line of lives touching lives has extended all the way down to us and now extends on through us and beyond us. The road goes on forever. Does it ever? Will it ever end? No. Some of y'all are thinking, yeah, it will. That's not, the Bible doesn't really say it's going to end. The Bible says there will be a fulfillment, a summing up, a completion, a maturing. But the story never ends because eternity, you know what eternity is? Eternity is eternal. You know, you can't get this kind of deep stuff just anywhere. Eternity is eternal. By its nature, eternity is outside of time. God is eternal because by God's nature, God is outside of time. The grace of it is that God chooses to enter our time. And enter our history, and enter our place, and work with us here and there. But it'll never end. We will never end. But while we are here, right now, in this place, in this moment, we do our part. And we can do more than survive and hang on and just barely make it. We can embrace doing our part with great faith, with great hope, with great enthusiasm. Because remember this, the unfinished story is lived out in the light of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I live in light of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I live with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, we can live the life that God has called us to live. We live in the power and the promise and the hope of the resurrection. I should have warned you at the beginning that this is about to become an interactive sermon. Okay, you ready? So I want you to get your hand ready, get your knuckles ready. Make sure you can reach. There's plenty of wood in the pews. You need to reach some wood. Okay? And I want you to finish what I'm going to start. Are you ready? Get ready. Be ready to finish it. Perfect. Genius. I knew you could do it. Okay. Some of you know where that comes from. So if I say this, I'm about to say something, you finish it. Are you ready? Shave and a haircut.
Two bits.
That goes back to when you get a shave and a haircut for 25 cents. Can't do that anymore. With as little hair as I can't have. I pay $13 for a haircut, you know, and you're not paying them by the hour, obviously. You know how that, we all know how it's supposed to end. We all know that. And if I went and somebody went, you'd say, okay, they're not from around here. Right? Well, there's a very real sense in which we in the church all need to say the same thing. There is a very real sense in which we all need to think the same thing, believe the same thing, say the same thing. I got, and I'm very glad about this, I am on the official approved supply preacher list for the Flint River Presbytery of the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. I'm on the approved supply list for the PCUSA Flint River District. Isn't that amazing? And I've preached at several Presbyterian churches lately. I've preached at First Presbyterian in Thomaston, Northminster Presbyterian here in town, and Forsyth Presbyterian. And when you go to a Presbyterian church, and some other churches, you got about a 99% chance in the worship service that you're going to repeat the Apostles' Creed. Right?
Yes.
And I think that's cool. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking, Baptists are not supposed to be creedal people. I know that. But I'm just saying, the Apostles' Creed is the basics. You know, it's all in there. The basics are there. Those are the kind of things we agree on. We all know, we all say. But let's try something else. I want you to think of two words. It can be any two words. The only rules are they have to be clean and they can't be two bits. Okay, get your two words in your head. Any two words have to be clean, you know, have to be the kind of words you can say in church, and can't be two bits. Okay? Now, when I say the phrase, you finish it with your two words. Shave and a haircut. See, that's a mess. But that's what makes us beautiful. See, we all agree on some things. We all know the basics, but we need every voice.
Amen.
We need every mind. We need every spirit. We need all of us to share together and to make that beautiful mess that the church can be, trying to help address the mess that the world is. It's the differences that keep things interesting. It's the differences that God uses to lead us into this most interesting story. And given the facts of the resurrection, of the never-ending nature of the story, the wonderful collection of different people in the world and in the church, it should be such a fascinating journey. Especially if we're all putting in our two bits worth. I'm about to ask you to sing along with me. And the scary part about this is some of you won't know the song. But some of you will. So if you know this, sing along with me. Are you ready? This is the song that doesn't end. Oh, it goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on and it does. It never ends. Where does that come from? Anybody know?
Lamb Chop.
Lamb Chop, Miss Sherry's Playhouse. And at the end of Miss Sherry's Playhouse, the puppets and the kids are singing the song. And finally, Miss Sherry, it's like Jesus cleansing the temple. Miss Sherry has to drive them all away because she, gently and with love, because she's Miss Sherry. Because she can't stand it anymore. But that's not the way we look at life. It's not a grind. It's not a trap. It's not a trick. Nobody's trying to trick you into a song that never ends, into a story that doesn't end. What it is a journey. What it is a gift. What it is a wonder. What it is an adventure. Now, one or two of you are older than I am. I'll be 60 this September. I'll be 60 this September. Now, let's just give me the benefit of the doubt. Both of my parents died in their 50s, so I'm already ahead of the game. But I have an aunt who lived to be 101. So let's just say that I get to live to be 90. Let's give me 30 more years. This is what I keep thinking. Time is limited. And there's so much still I want to learn. So much still I want to experience. So much still that I want to do. And then add God into the equation. What does God want me to do? How does God want to use me? I wish I had realized when I was 30 about the wonder of it that I do now that I'm 60. But it's never too late to grab the journey, to grab the gift, the wonder of it, the adventure of it all. There's a children's book that some of you will know called The Never-Ending Story. And it's a story about a boy who gets drawn into a story called The Never-Ending Story. And sometimes in the book, a new plot line will be introduced, and they'll go down that plot path for a while and then not finish it. And at those points, the book says, "This is another story and shall be told another time." We're living in God's story. Story that God started, a story that God is still involved in. And God puts God's self into this story still. And one time, God put so much of God's self into this story that He sent His only Son and gave Himself up for our sake, His beloved Son. And now God sends us as God's beloved children into the world to give ourselves up for people's sake and to live out our part of the story. What a wonder it is. What a joy it is. Well, what I've been trying to tell you about today is God's story and our part in it. And I'd love to hear every one of you tell your part of the story. Maybe y'all can do that with each other. Because after all, that's another story that shall be told another time. God, help us to tell the story with our perspectives, our motives, our words, our actions. Help us tell your story by living fully into our story, being fully who you have called and made and saved us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn.